On So She Weeps by Kevin Linehan.
Justine let out a short yelp as she awoke from her nightmare, sitting bolt upright in bed, her hair whipping against her red-rimmed eyes. As the foggy terror faded and reality slowly returned, she began to feel a little foolish. The grey light of an overcast morning spilled weakly between the horizontal blinds, giving the entire room a dull, cold feeling. She looked at the blank display on the digital alarm clock next to her bed accusingly. "Another power cut?" she mumbled angrily, swinging her legs out of bed into the cold air, briefly feeling a sharp pain in her right side. She held her hand against her ribs for a few seconds, taking short, shallow breaths until the pain subsided. She stood up carefully, feeling a little puzzled, and tried to remember if she had done anything to hurt herself the day before. But all she could remember was the sudden fear of her nightmare before she was jolted awake. She picked up her jeans and t-shirt from the floor where she had apparently thrown them the night before and put them on as slowly and carefully as she could, though the pain seemed to have subsided for now. She felt a bulge in her pocket and, after some awkward twisting, managed to wrest her phone from inside. She pushed the button on the side, but the screen remained blank. After looking around the room for a moment, she realized there was no way she could even charge the thing, since the part of the house was clearly cut. Justine sighed and tossed the phone casually onto the grey, unmade bed, where it sank into the quilt and out of sight. She shook her head, sighed, and then froze in an instant of panic before exclaiming aloud, "Whoa, what time is it?" Her panic subsided almost immediately as the thought dawned on her that it couldn't be too late. About 2 months before, on her 16th birthday, she had a long discussion with her mother about treating her as an adult and letting her take responsibility for herself. Despite the fact that her mother had grudgingly agreed to this, she just couldn't let go of the habit of knocking on her door at 7:30 every morning to make sure she got up for school. Using this logic, Justine assumed she still had plenty of time. She grabbed a large, fluffy blue towel from inside her closet and found it cold to the touch. This was a little odd as the water heater was just on the other side of the wall, and usually by this time the whole house would be lovely and warm. Justine shrugged and walked to the door, turning the handle and opening it gently onto the uncharacteristically dark hallway beyond. That was when she heard it for the first time. The sound seemed to sweep past her in the darkness, like a strange, choking inhalation, accompanied by a brief light breeze. A chill ran up her spine and then all through her body as she instinctively recoiled back into her room, slamming the door. She stood for what seemed like an eternity with her hand gripping the door handle tightly before croaking, "Mom?" Silence. Justine bit her lower lip as she opened the door again. She stepped out into the darkness and onto the cold carpet, leaving her bedroom door open behind her. All the doors were shut, as if no one else had gotten up yet, but she had never seen the place like this after sunrise, and it seriously unnerved her. A gentle echoed up the hallway, as if someone was crying at the bottom of the stairs. "Mom?" she whispered into the dark. The sound paused briefly before beginning again, slightly louder this time. Justine walked down the hallway, past the bathroom door, holding the towel out in front of her like a shield as she leaned around the wall at the top of the stairs, and her eyes finally fell on the source of the sound. A shape sat hunched at the foot of the stairs, shaking gently and convulsing in time with the sounds. Through it, Justine could see the shape of the front door and the welcome mat, but they appeared slightly blurred through the silhouette of the thing. Justine's eyes widened as she tried to shout again for her mother, but the sound caught somewhere in her throat as she stirred in horror, and the noises from the thing grew louder, becoming an almost inhuman, anguished wail. When the thing threw its hooded head back and screamed like a wounded animal, Justine instinctively stumbled backwards, away from the thing, her shoulder blades banging loudly off the bathroom door. It was as if the shriek that had previously been trapped in her throat was somehow now knocked loose as she let out a sudden, "Ah!" The thing on the stairs fell silent immediately and turned its hooded head to the side, the vague, blurry shape of an arm shooting out from the mass of the thing as thin, bony fingers gripped the banister and it began to pull itself upright. The sharp pain in her side returned worse than ever as Justine dropped the towel on the floor and bolted back down the hallway and through the open door to her room, slamming it shut behind her. She looked around desperately for somewhere to hide as she tried to ignore the vicious stabbing in her ribs, briefly considering climbing under the bed before turning to her right and jumping between the hanging clothes in her wardrobe. She grabbed both the open doors and tried to pull them shut, but it would be impossible to close both without crushing her fingers. The best she could manage was to pull closed the one on the left and then drag the other almost closed, leaving a gap of about half an inch through which she had no choice but to look. From here, she could just about see the bed and not much else, meaning that she couldn't see the door when it opened, but she could damn well hear it when it bounced violently off the wall, creating a deep, oscillating thud. Justine clenched her fists and held her breath as the sound started up again, coming from somewhere in the vicinity of the doorway. There was something different about it now, though, slightly more stifled and quiet, with an aspect to it that Justine thought, in a way, sounded slightly wet, as if the thing was salivating. In the back of her mind, Justine briefly felt a small amount of pride at this observation, before she realized a moment later that the source of the sound had begun to move further into the room. It changed position slowly at first, as if hesitant to enter, but soon the sound was loud enough that Justine was certain it had begun to move towards her hiding spot. The stabbing in her ribs seemed to grow more and more unbearable the closer the thing got, to the point where Justine unclenched her left hand and covered her mouth with it to stifle the whimpering she felt building in her esophagus. She shut her eyes tight and clenched her right fist harder, ready to take a swing at the thing if she was discovered, for whatever good that might do. The sound of the thing drew ever closer, the seeming to get deeper and wetter with every revolution. When she was convinced the thing was right outside the wardrobe door, Justine bent her knees, ready to leap and scratch and claw at whatever came at her, shutting her eyes tighter for fear of seeing the thing this close, as she was now certain it would be standing right outside the gap, perhaps looking directly at her for all she knew. Just as she was about to leap out and attack, a familiar sound made her hesitate. It was the light, soft thunk of her bed springs contracting. She opened her eyes. The thing was sitting on the edge of her bed, staring directly at her, no longer translucent, shoulders convulsing beneath a grimy green velvet robe that covered its body from the neck all the way to the floor, where the material wrinkled up in a pile and swirled around as if floating in a liquid. Justine paid almost no attention to this detail, however, as she was much more preoccupied with the horrific visage that was now transfixed on her own. Inside the dark green hood, two pinpoints of dull yellow light shone from where eyes would usually be. They flickered sporadically with each convulsion as the creature continued to weep. The skin of its gaunt face was flushed, raw, and peeling in places. Its nose was little more than two slits, out of which dripped a slow, steady stream of greyish-green mucus, which dripped inexorably down around either side of its mouth, which was framed by deeply cracked, grey lips that were fixed with a severe frown, exposing yellowing teeth that were locked together firmly. Justine felt her stomach drop and her body go numb as she stared helplessly back at the thing, her fists involuntarily unclenching and her hand dropping away from her mouth. After a few seconds that seemed like an eternity, the thing's horrible lips went from a frown to a slight smile and its head tilted slightly to the side before the shape vanished completely, leaving behind a shiny, greasy-looking stain on the bedclothes where it had been perched. As feeling flooded back through her body, Justine raised her right hand and grasped the edge of the wardrobe door, opening it slightly wider for a better view of the room. As she did so, the sharp pain in her side returned, worse than ever. She felt a warm, wet breath in her right ear, and from the darkness next to her came the as a cold hand gently grasped her wrist. Justine exploded out of the wardrobe, both doors flinging open as she flung herself away from the thing, pulling her arm out of its grasp and half running, half falling across the room and out into the dark hallway, not daring to look over her shoulder as she barreled towards the top of the stairs. When she got there, she bounded down them two at a time towards the front door, barely keeping her footing until the last step, when her right foot caught behind her left and she fell forward, hitting the large oak door hard with her shoulder and falling to the floor. She sprang up almost instantly, fueled by pure panic, and grasped the door handle. It wouldn't budge. She twisted as hard as she could, but felt the little brass orb remain completely immobile as she struggled to turn it in either direction. Giving up on the door, she turned to the white door on her left that led to the living room. Her heart sank as the handle proved to be equally stuck. She held up a fist and banged on the door as hard as she could and screamed, "Mom! Someone's in the house!" Just then, a voice came from the top of the stairs. It sounded like a saw filtered through several layers of thick cloth, and it was filled with unmistakable anger.
"Get out of here! Have I suffered enough?"
Justine's head spun around to the source of the sound, and was just about able to make out the terrible figure, standing in the dark at the top of the stairs, its eyes now glowing a piercing bright green. The velvet at the bottom of its robe slithered down over the top stair as the figure moved forward in an unnaturally smooth movement and began to descend towards her. Justine slapped the living room door one last time as she darted away from it and through the open kitchen door opposite. The kitchen was a perfectly square room with a counter along the opposite side and a sink and several drawers set in it. A waist-high wooden table took up most of the centre of the room. For a moment she considered hiding underneath it before remembering how ineffective hiding in the wardrobe had been. She spun around at the sound of wet, slobbering intakes of breath behind her and saw the figure slowly descend to the bottom of the stairs. Justine backed away to the opposite side of the room until she felt her back bump into the kitchen counter. The thing stood, facing the front door briefly before, much to Justine's relief, it turned towards the living room door. The door swung slowly open for it to the accompaniment of a loud, lengthy creak, and the thing moved into the room, still sniffling and weeping grotesquely. After it had moved a few feet, the door swung over enough to block Justine's view of the room, but did not close completely. She stared at the door for some time, waiting for it to move. After almost a minute, she dragged her eyes away from it and looked towards the window. Outside there was nothing, just grey, dim light. Not a street, not a sky, just grey. Her mind raced, trying to process what she had seen as a loud wailing suddenly came from the living room, slightly muffled by the door and distance. Just then, from somewhere in the distant recesses of her mind, she remembered something her grandfather had told her when she was very young. It was about 10 years ago now, and not long after Justine's father had died. Her grandmother had suffered a severe heart attack and died in hospital the same week. Her mother hadn't handled it very well, and Justine had been sent to stay with her paternal grandfather, a terrifically large man with a giant bushy beard and thick-rimmed glasses, who always seemed happy and never talked down to her. At some point that evening she had, with the disarming innocence of a child, asked him how he was always so happy when his son was gone forever. He had just smiled back at her with his big blue eyes and told her that he knew his son was always with him and that he would see him again some day when the banshee comes a-weepin' and a-wailin' for me. I heard her keenin' and caterwauling the night he died. And he had really believed it. After that, she refused to sleep with the lights off and cried inconsolably when the wind got high. Her mother had forbidden her grandfather from seeing her after that, and it was years before she saw him again, though he was not the man he had been. Ravaged by dementia and a stroke, she did not recognize him, nor did he know her. The wailing suddenly stopped, replaced by the sound of a high-pitched whine, barely on the edge of hearing, as of someone playing a violin at an impossibly shrill tone. Justine winced as the noise cut through her, feeling like a needle in her ear. She held both sides of her head, her face a pained grimace, as the note slowly lowered and resolved into the much more human sound of a woman crying. Not the horrific, terrible sound that had come from the thing she had now hesitantly resolved to call the banshee, but rather a much quieter sobbing. It seemed to be coming from the front room, where she had seen the thing enter not long ago. For reasons she couldn't quite understand, she felt compelled to move towards the sound, driven by some deep primal urge to comfort this person. She slowly walked back across the kitchen and out through the door past the bottom of the stairs. She turned her head briefly up to the landing, but saw only darkness there. Then, reaching out slowly, she placed her hand on the living room door and pushed gently. It failed to move. She pushed a little harder and felt it move just a little, but still, it would not open. She flung herself at the door as hard as she could and the door flew open, her momentum sending her stumbling and falling forward into the room and down face first on the thick, cold carpet. There was a short scream from somewhere to her left and the sobbing stopped. Justine pushed herself up onto her knees and twisted around to where the sound had been coming from, but saw only an empty red sofa and a large oblong wooden box atop a metal frame which sat on four metal casters. She could see that one half of the lid of the box was propped open. The inside of the lid seemed to be lined with white cloth. She got awkwardly to her feet and walked, one heavy step at a time, towards the box, fearing what she might see, but somehow she knew deep down what she would find inside. She reached the edge of the box and looked down at a face she knew well, but at the same time looked altogether unfamiliar. She backed away slowly across the room, her throat convulsing, her mouth stretching involuntarily into a rictus of dread and sorrow as she tried to blink back the tears and push away the leaden feeling that was now making her every move a painful chore. As she backed out of the door, she felt her knees give in as she fell once again to the floor, limbs feeling too heavy now to lift. She managed to drag her way up to the bottom three stairs before weakness and complete apathy finally overtook her. She folded up on her side into the fetal position, closed her eyes, put her head in her hands, and wept as she never had before and never would again. Diane flopped down on the red sofa and began to sob uncontrollably as she tried ineffectively to rub the wrinkles out of her long black dress with her tear-soaked hands, managing only to create even more wrinkles. She could have sworn she had heard someone upstairs in Justine's room, but there had been no one there. Now here she was, running around the house, shouting at thin air like someone who had lost their mind. And who was to say she hadn't lost her mind? No one would blame her, she knew. Hell, they probably all expected it. She reached out and put her hand on Justine's coffin, still unable to bring herself to look inside. She knew it wouldn't be long before people started arriving to offer their hollow platitudes and ogle her dead daughter like some kind of funfair diversion. No, that wasn't right. That was just the pain talking. It wasn't their fault, they just wouldn't know what to say. Diane didn't even think there was anything anyone could say. She took a deep breath and let go of the edge of the coffin. Just as she was about to stand up and finally look inside, the living room door flung open as if someone had thrown themselves against it. Diane jumped up from the sofa in shock and stirred, but no one came through.
Damn it, who are you? Why are you doing this?
She croaked, her voice hoarse from crying. She stood still and waited, but there was no response. A shiver ran up her spine as if, as her mother would have said, someone had just walked over her grave. She walked slowly to the door and peered around the frame at the foot of the stairs, but there was no one there. She stepped out and stood there for a second next to the door, listening and waiting. Just on the edge of hearing, she heard a noise, as of someone trying to stop themselves crying. It felt as though it was coming from right in front of her. She stepped forward and put her foot on the first stair. Suddenly her nose was filled with a mosaic of scents. She smelled the terrible cookies Justine had made when she was 7 in her first ever cooking experiment. She had smiled and eaten them despite the fact that her daughter had mixed up the sugar with the salt and they tasted absolutely awful. She smelled the perfume Justine had bought her years before for Christmas that she had secretly saved for over months. She smelled the fresh cut grass on a summer morning. She smelled the Play-Doh from her first day of school. Flowers she had gotten her for her birthday. The antiseptic on her knees for all those cuts and scrapes when she was little. The antiseptic from the hospital room where she had watched her daughter die. She smelled the stench of alcohol from the man who had driven into her little girl and killed her. She leant down and smelled these things. She lay down and heard the sobs. She lay on her side and imagined Justine was there, lying next to her. She lay there and she thought of these things and she wept. She wept as she never had before and never would again.